Isabelle Kreitz, vous signez avec le scénariste Pierre Maeter un roman graphique intitulé Arman, le boucher de Hanovre. Alors c'est un roman graphique assez terrible dans la mesure où il raconte le destin de ce monsieur Arman, le boucher de Hanovre, qui est en fait un criminel en série qui dépouillait des cadavres. On lui attribue 24 jeunes hommes qu'il aurait assassinés, dont il revendait leurs effets personnels au marché noir, ainsi que la chair humaine dont se sont nourris certains de ses voisins. Nous sommes en 1924 en Allemagne. Isabelle Kreitz, my first question would be, do we learn more about history with a great H through narrative fictions like graphic novels rather than through books of history, classical books of history? What is the part, what is the elements that add fiction, narrative in the knowledge of history?
Well, I guess one of the advantages of the graphic novel itself is to put pictures and history together. And of course, today, nowadays, people are missing certain pictures, as they are missing certain parts of town, for example. In case of this book, there used to be a part of Hanover, a town in northern Germany, that is completely vanished by now. By Second World War bombing and remodeling afterwards. And nobody can imagine how life was in these days. And through pictures, I try to rebuild the atmosphere of that time.
How did you work to reach that point? Did you work on archive, on photos of that time?
Yes, I try to collect as many pictures as I can get before I start working, to construct in my head how the atmosphere was, how the architecture was. Also, I read a lot of books taking place in that time by authors of that time to catch how life was itself, and combine all these parts of puzzles together to construct the picture.
And concretely, for instance, when you say you read books, novels about written in that time or about that time, how did you concretely work? You took notes or you identified elements which could be graphic afterwards?
I kind of try to pick certain parts of the books, like when it is described how somebody goes to the toilet, for example, mm-hmm. that the toilet was never included in the houses, but you had to go outside and into the courtroom, court, and do your business there.
Yes.
Or how you gather your nourishments. Mm. There were no supermarkets, of course, not even any markets in that time. Well, you really had to organize your life mm-hmm. completely different, and this you can get out of the books.
If I come back to the example you gave about the toilets, which are outside on the court, it can become an element of the narrative. It can become an element of the dramaturgy.
Sure. Because, of course...
In the case of Arman.
Yes, you can hide your evidences there, for example. and also it's a place where people meet.
Yes.
So it can work in both sides. Either you can hide something or you have to show something, yeah. Whatever.
It's also a place where people spy the other one.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Everybody looks about everybody mm-hmm. and... you can't hide yourself.
Mm-hmm. So let's continue a little bit about the graphic part of this graphic novel. Mm-hmm. You have chosen to design with pencils,
yes.
with in black and white. Mm-hmm. How did this choice? Did you make this choice?
Well, I've been doing comics since almost 15 years now, and for the beginning I started the classic way with a brush and ink, or with pen and ink, and slowly I decided that my pen and inks were so poor compared to my sketches before that, And finally, with the rising techniques, you could do better techniques of printing, of scanning. I could just eliminate the pen and ink part and use directly the graphic material I most liked. So this is my choice for pencil.
And in the edition in Casterman Écriture, at the end of the book we have some black and white pictures of the time and also of Hartmann, of the main character of your graphic novel. Do you think that, and how the black and white photography of that time can inspire you?
Of course, black and white photography makes a major impact on my point of view. Not only photography, but also movies of that time. I'm greatly influenced by silent movies like Fritz Lang, M, Metropolis, Dr. Mabuse. mingles in my mind, and I like how the lights and shadows are put in the early expressionistic German films. That all led to this kind of drawing.
There is also another dimension in the photos that so it is press photo that we can see at the end of the book. For instance, a photo where Hartmann is dealt just after being condemned to death. Mm-hmm. Is there walking on the street, nearly smiling? Do you find or identify in the black and white picture portraits, elements that help you in the psychology identification of what is becoming your character, well, the character you are designing?
Yeah, it's a mixture of looking at the pictures and reading about how people witnessed the figure. They described Hartmann as a really neat person, and a really efficient and fine person, really polite. And when looking at the pictures, I saw somebody looking at me quite naive. And all this mingled when you look at these pictures today. And the certain smile at the last picture you just described is also, for me, is a sign for his relief to be taken out of society finally, because I'm sure he also suffered because he kind of knew what he was doing.
Yes, he was a fool. Well, he was
just completely naive and did not take the consequences for his crimes.
Yes, he's a mental ill person, and he was interned in hospitals, and nobody knows in the part of the story you are telling why he was let out of the psychiatric institute where he was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was a matter of money, as always, that these institutions from time to time just released their inhabitants. So if they don't are really a threat to society, and Hartmann was not a threat as proven by that time, they just released him because they thought he should be self-sufficient. And after that, everybody took advantage of him. People bought the clothes, people bought the meat, people got information. Nobody wanted to know how he gathered these things. And, so it's also a matter of society. The guilt can't be put on one person only.
Yes, the society around him was blind, and also in French we say complice. I don't know how you say it in English.
Kind of.
Can it? I know asking this to you, a young person, a young artist living in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. How does it come to choose this kind of story, this kind of person, to come back to this history? How do you decide to do so, and how do you live these months or years you have spent with Mr. Hartmann?
Honest, I did not really take much interest in Hartmann as a character, but more into the life circumstances he was living in. And I always ask myself when I do historical topics, how certain traces survive generations. You know, when you live today, you ask yourself, why did your parents do these and those things? And they ask themselves why their parents did so. And you can travel back in time tell the stories that your parents never told you.
Mm-hmm. And how did you live all these months? How long time did it take to make this book?
It took me about 18 months to just do the technique, mm-hmm. you know, do the drawing. But as I told you, I'm more into the life circumstances mm-hmm. than the character. I really left all of that to the brilliant scenarist Pierre Mita,
yeah.
who wrote the story. And concentrated on my part, mm-hmm, collecting yeah. the pictures.
Okay. And how did you work with the scriptwriter Pierre Mettre? Did he write everything, and then you work on your side, or did you make yes. exchange?
No, we did not work as a team.
Yeah.
He wrote the story quite a time before I got it. It was in his cupboard for a long time. And he pulled it out, and he decided this was the time to do it. Mm-hmm. And he approached me. So I had the finished scenario mm-hmm. and could add my own parts to it.
Mm-hmm. My last question will be about the character Armand. Mm-hmm. In your view, all this story is put to light in 1924, so 6 years after the end of World War One. Do you think that a kind of person like Armand, but also all the society around accepting him, is the result of a profound nature of humanity, which is barbarism, mm-hmm. or is it also the result of the lack of humanity that has been lived by the European society during 4 years in World War One? What is your feeling as an artist about mm-hmm. about this?
Well, my speculations are that it is just total ignorance, also a lack of humanity, of course, because all these war victims coming back home, they witnessed something that was much more evident to them. They didn't really care about civil life at home. I would say it's mainly ignorance. Mm. Everybody caring for themselves, not looking outside.
Yeah. Okay, Isabel Kreis, I thank you very much for this interview.
Thank you.
And tell me, what are you working on now? Are you working on something lighter as far as the story is concerned?
I've been working for some time on a series of literature adaptions for children. And I don't know if the author is known around here, Erich Kästner. He is a really classic children's books author in Germany, whose first books appeared in 1929 until the 50s. And I kind of go through them in a chronological order. And right now I'm working on a book that is taking place in Berlin in the 30s. Oh, yeah. And so it's my topic, but for a different audience.
Yeah, okay. Fine. Thank you very much, Isabel Kreis. Je rappelle aux auditeurs le titre du roman graphique autour duquel nous nous sommes entretenus, Le boucher de Hanovre, Armand, le boucher de Hanovre. Alors, au dessin noir et blanc, au crayon superbe, c'est vous, Isabel Kreis, qui étiez à la planche à dessin. Et Pierre Metter était au scénario. C'est paru chez Casterman dans la collection Écriture. Merci Isabel Kreitz.
Merci.